Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking about the extraordinary level of turnover in local institutions of higher education. We've seen a string of high-profile exits at UNCW, the recent surprise ship-jumping of Cape Fear Community College President Ted Spring. It was June of last year that then-Chancellor Gary Miller announced he was leaving UNCW at the request of UNC System President Tom Ross. Dr. William Cederberg, happily retired at that point at his home in Asheville, agreed to take the helm as interim chancellor at UNCW. Dr. Cederberg has served as a Michigan State Senator, Commissioner of Utah's System of Higher Education, and is currently a senior scholar at the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. Dr. Cederberg, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're invited to join the discussion. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. Dr. Cederberg, we've seen tremendous turnover at UNCW in the past year. A lot of people are talking about it, not just at the high-profile level, but also at the staff level. The dean of the Cameron School of Business, the chancellor, the provost, chief financial officer, those are just some of the
chief.
More...
Well, I think you're speaking to the legal counsel and so the chief financial officer, but that's fine.
Charles.
There has been a lot of turnover.
Okay, sure. And those are just the higher profile positions that I named. Right. What's going on?
Well, I think it's just a time of transition for the institution. Whenever there's a change at the top, there's change throughout the organization. And it just, I think, is a matter of coincidence right now that there's a number of personnel changes that are happening. I don't think there's any surprise that when the chancellor changes, typically the provost will often change as well. There's also with the deans, that just happened to be coincidental as far as the timing of the deans leaving. So some of it is transition, some of it is just coincidence.
And there has been a public outcry. There was a very detailed article in the Star News today over the elimination of the track and field program. Some of the people who've been supporters of that program say they felt blindsided by the news. They were sought for funds to help boost the program. They thought things were going according to plan, and then suddenly they get the news that the program is cut. Is there a communication problem going on between the university and the community at large or some of the university's supporters?
Well, I certainly don't think so. On the track issue, these are a separate issue. What really triggered the whole track debate was the fact that when we got into the discussion of what the student fees were going to be for the coming year, it was very clear the students and the faculty and the staff did not support another $100 increase in student fees. And so we had to go back to the drawing boards, and I challenged the athletic department to come up with a plan that did three things: that I would support some modest increase in student fees to help athletics, but the athletics then had to resize itself and restructure itself to live within their means. And the third element was to increase fundraising. And so that event took place in November, and that triggered the athletic department to take a look at their size. And the fundamental issue in all that is that there are just too many sports for the budget at the athletic department. And so they went to the drawing boards and recommended the elimination of the track. What is kind of being misunderstood, I think, is that there was not a long-term scheme to do away with track. This issue really emerged as we were working on the budget that we were putting together. And so I challenged the department. They had a good plan. They justified the plan. And I, as interim chancellor, agreed with the athletic director.
You work with an organization, an advocacy group, mm-hmm. that works to connect the priorities of higher education to state policy. And you have a unique perspective, having served right. as a Michigan State Senator, and you've also been in the leadership in various capacities of institutions of higher education. How is North Carolina doing with its public policy?
Well, what we're working on nationally, it's a group of 19 presidents of a committee that I chair, and we're really calling upon the states to renew the social contract between the state political leadership and the university system and university campuses. And the call for that renewal of the social contract is very meaningful here in North Carolina. It is rather needed, I would say. We've had the new governor comes in without a very precise agenda related to higher education. He's very strong on connecting the universities more with the workforce. But there's a lot of policy implementation behind that that should be developed. And then, of course, we've had the turnover at the UNC level with President Ross' announcement. And so North Carolina is just the perfect case study of a need for the political leadership to sit down with the university system and with the campuses and to have a sincere conversation about the future, not just of the campuses, but the future of the state, because the state's future really depends upon a healthy university system. Wilmington's future depends upon a healthy community college and university institution here within the community. And so what we're talking about nationally really applies to North Carolina, and it applies here to have a broader understanding of what's the role of the college within the community.
Dr. Cederberg, would you say then that this torrent of departures from UNCW, and I know you said earlier in the show that this was coincidental and UNCW is undergoing a time of transition, and I can appreciate that, but it does seem unprecedented.
When you zoom back, it can look that way. When you're closer to it, you know there's individuals involved, and each individual has their own situation, and so it's quite different.
Is Wilmington emblematic of what's happening at the state level, this sort of murky or lack of
there's
real
an
clear
there's
agenda?
There's an element of UNCW being representative of what's going on in higher education. For example, we know that one-third of the college presidents in the United States are expected to retire within the next 5 years.
One-third of the college presidents in the United States
are expected to retire within the next 5 years. And so as you see that migration take place, you're going to see more provosts recruited to move up to be college president. So UNCW, our provost Denise Battles, got recruited at Geneseo in New York, and she's on to become president of that institution. Well, that's part of the national turnover within higher education. There's also universities are in a state of flux because there's a lot of what I refer to as kind of turbulence within the environment related to the expectations of what universities are all about. And so you do see, I think, a heightened movement of the number of individuals throughout the system. But it goes back to a need really to explain what is it that we want out of our institutions? What are we asking our leaders to do? How are we going to evaluate our leaders? And then challenging the leaders to align their team for that future.
So you've said North Carolina is a good case study for why we need to align the agenda of higher education with the agenda of what state lawmakers are doing in Raleigh. And Governor McCrory, as you pointed out, has certainly said we need to link what's happening in our institutions of higher education with practical job realities. And I'm thinking in terms of people should become accountants, not to get liberal arts degrees.
Well, actually, there's a new study out this week that says that actually philosophy majors mid-career make more money than accountants do mid-career. I have to be careful because I served as the commissioner of higher education in the state of Utah, and we were heavily engaged in these issues of developing a state plan. We know generally that a state such as North Carolina is going to need about two-thirds of their public with some form of post-secondary education, whether it be a certificate, whether it be a two-year degree from Cape Fear or a four-year degree from Wilmington or a PhD from Chapel Hill. And we need to figure out strategies to move in that direction. But more significantly, we need to do a better job of aligning liberal arts programming with the economic needs of the system, of the economic system. So
you're saying there is actually a weakness in that program.
There's definitely a weakness, and there's lots of things. For example, transcripts. We will generate at UNC Wilmington transcripts for all of our graduates, and they will use these transcripts for the interviewing process within the system. Well, transcripts will tell you what grades they got in specific courses, but I think that what employers are looking at are some other types of skills, communication skills, team-building skills, awareness of international issues that don't show up anywhere on transcripts. And so I think the next wave of reform in higher education is going to do it's going to consist of looking at how to delve into the details of higher education and provide better information to prospective employers as to the skills needed for the workforce.
Is there a danger in some of this transitional philosophy that's happening at the policy level? Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, for example, has also echoed Governor McCrory's sentiments about the need for practical application of higher education. Is that to the detriment of arts and culture and other less tangible forms of education?
It is and it isn't. It is if you don't really understand it. And this typical speech of the governors throughout the country is, well, we really need to do a better job of aligning degrees with the needs of the economy. And it is correct, I think, by and large. However, if I were to collect the 100 top business leaders here in this community, and I don't know them very well, I'm willing to bet that two-thirds to three-fourths of them have degrees, liberal arts degrees. And I've done this in a number of states, and the governors of the states, I mean, you look at Governor McCrory has a degree from Catawba University of Fine Liberal Arts College. The candidates running for president, they have liberal arts degrees. And on one sense, we have to do a better job. On another sense, the individual leaders themselves and where they send their sons and daughters, they understand that the skills needed to maneuver in a world that's constantly changing are more important than specific job skills. And so what UNCW Wilmington is working on and what needs to be done is to really polish up those skills that help students maneuver through the free enterprise system. To get back to the study that was just released, there are a number of degrees, liberal arts degrees, that actually mid-career lead to more success and higher income than to some job-specific careers that the institutions have. So
I know some recent graduates that'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah, it just takes a few years. I'm talking too long about this. I'm putting on my old hat as commissioner. But I just think that states and communities, I mean, this can be applied right here, that this community needs to sit down when the new chancellor comes on board, the new president of Cape Fear Community College. The business leadership and the civic community really needs to sit down with these leaders and say, what do we want to build here in Wilmington? What's the future look like? And remember, these two institutions, Cape Fear and Wilmington, UNC Wilmington, are two of the few institutions in the region that can build the region. And so this conversation is absolutely critically important.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Dr. William Cederberg, interim chancellor at UNCW, about the future of higher education in the Wilmington area and what's happening with public policy at the state level. Dr. Cederberg, we have an email from Anonymous. He says, I moved to Wilmington 3.5 years ago and knew for years that North Carolina was famous for its higher education system. I noticed that when Republicans took over the state government 2.5 years ago, everything seemed to spiral downward, especially in the area of civil rights, women's rights, and the environment. Are Republican policies negatively affecting North Carolina's stellar higher education system as well?
Well, that's a very easy question. I'm a former Republican state senator, so I have to be cautious. Let me put it in a different way of looking at this thing. When the governor sits down after a certain length of time of being in office and looks at the assets the governor has to build the state, at some point the governor and legislative leaders are going to say, the University of North Carolina is a phenomenal asset for the state. How do we team with this asset to build the future of the state? And that transition is happening almost daily. I've heard the governor speak a number of different times, and each time he moves in that direction a little bit closer. So there are other political issues, obviously, and ideological issues. But when it comes to higher education, the state leadership will reach the point of saying, what are the tools that we have available to build the future North Carolina? Are we going to chase low-paying, non-skilled jobs and be, you know, a third-world country?
Which has been a particular issue for this region.
Which has been an issue throughout the country. I mean, it's not just here. Or are we going to say we have a high-tech future of an increasingly internet interconnected world. Let's build upon that future. And the variable that we have here in Wilmington really working for us is place. Increasingly, jobs of the future are really independent of place, and people can locate businesses anywhere. And Wilmington has a huge plus in that category. So getting back to the state level, I predict that over the next year, the caller will be reasonably pleased that I think you're going to see the legislature and the governor move more towards supporting the UNC system as they come to realize you really don't have many tools to build the state. And your strongest tool for the future that they know from a family level, they're going to encourage their sons and daughters to go to college and participate in this thing. They know deep down inside that the future really depends upon the university system, and the state will migrate to continue to support it.
You're characterizing that as a prediction.
That's a prediction, and I can come back in a year and tell me I'm totally wrong.
But and we'll know where to find you in Asheville.
There you go.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Dr. William Cederberg, interim chancellor at UNCW. If you have a question for him, he's here just for about another 5 minutes. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. You mentioned earlier, Dr. Cederberg, the ouster of UNC System President Tom Ross. How would you – we have no official word on the reason behind that.
And I don't have any secret information. So,
can you give us some insight into what you think is
likely?
I'll
give you Bill's theory and what
sure,
I think –
Sure, Bill's theory.
Bill's theory, and it's worth as much, I guess. But I think that sometimes you have power shifts within society, and clearly – you know, there was this power shift, and the Board of Governors wanted to go in a new direction. I think they need to define that new direction a little bit clearer than they have. Tom Ross is a phenomenally talented guy and has a great future ahead of him and will be a great asset to the state of North Carolina.
And the Board of Governors affirmed that.
They affirm all that. I think that they just want to go in a slightly different direction with some different leadership. And
what does that mean, different leadership?
We don't know, but I would predict that I think that what it probably will be is a greater emphasis on this applied agenda connecting to the workforce. And that's certainly part of the current plan, but I think there will be a little bit more emphasis on that because that's, I think, in the mindset of kind of the Republican leadership right now. So that's kind of Bill's prediction, but I don't.
I understand. That's a theory.
I work for President Ross. I was hired by President Ross. I have huge respect for him. I just think that there are changes that occur. But North Carolina, to get back to your theme of the whole show, North Carolina is going through transition. Ultimately, the state and the community has got to figure out that higher education is a phenomenal asset and that ought to be used.
Okay. Quickly, we have an email from Anonymous. Chancellor Cederberg, do you think there's a push to turn to online curriculum at UNCW? She says, also, if I could make a statement, I would like to suggest that the visual and performing arts are major economic drivers for many cities. Asheville's a great example of this. Okay, to her question, online curriculum?
Yes to both. Clearly, what is the world is evolving to is more of a hybrid where you have online education being an option for certain classes, but online with embedded within on-campus courses. So you're going to see a wide mixture, and UNCW will migrate to be a bigger player in that. And yes, we know that the arts are absolutely critical to the quality of life within the community and building the sense of community.
Okay, Kimberly, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Very quickly, your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Kimberly, and I'm calling from Wilmington. Thank you so much, Chancellor, for being here. And as a Wilmington native, gosh, I love the fact that Cape Fear Community College has taken an amazing role for bringing in more businesses and people downtown.
Kimberly, sorry to rush you along. 20 seconds.
So the question is, how can we better prepare our high school students for college to be competitive in our jobs and
well,
so on?
Well, very, very quickly, this area needs a very strong P20 council for preschool right up through graduate school, and we need to better align the entire educational process.
Kimberly, thanks so much for your call. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Dr. William Cederberg, Interim Chancellor at UNCW, thanks so much for joining us today. Coming up after the break, the president of Cape Fear Community College's Board of Trustees joins us in studio. If you have a question, the number is 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline.